CD 8. The next morning, towards the end of von Sohotsky's testimony, Berry posed the killer question. "Isn't it true," he said, his eyes bright as he turned to face the doctor, "that you said you hadn't stopped lip-pointing because the matter was not in your jurisdiction, but Mr. Rhoda's?" "I object to this, Your Honour," interrupted Markley at once. But before the judge could rule, the company's founder answered, "Absolutely not." Markley and Berry both stared at him, open-mouthed. And then Markley confidently retook his seat, crossing his long legs. "All right," the corporate attorney said easily, gesticulating for the witness to continue. "Absolutely not," repeated von Sohotsky. Berry could not believe it, for not only had Grace and Quinter told him about this, Martland and Hoffman had too, and they had all heard it from the doctor's own mouth. Why was he now backtracking? Perhaps he was concerned about how he would appear? Or perhaps something else had happened? "We should get a line on what von Sohotsky is doing and where he is," a USRC memo had noted back in July. Perhaps there had been a conversation behind closed doors that had led to the doctor's change of tune. Berry quizzed him on his warning to Grace too. Perhaps here, at least, he could find some traction. "Well, Mr. Berry," von Sohotsky replied, "I don't want to deny that, but I don't recollect that very distinctly. There is a possibility that I told her that, which would be the perfectly natural thing to do, passing by the plant, seeing the unusual thing of a girl putting a brush to her lips. Of course I would say, do not do that." That account sounded peculiar, even to John Backus's ears. "What reason had you for doing that?" the judge asked. "Unsanitary conditions," replied von Sohotsky promptly. "You cautioned this young lady not to put the brushes in her mouth," Backus said plainly. "I want to know whether at that time you were apprehensive that the paint with the radium in it might affect her deleteriously." But the doctor was unmoved. His choice of pronoun is notable. "Absolutely not," he replied to the judge. "The danger was unknown to us." Berry was bitterly disappointed. Publicly, in court, he denounced von Sohotsky as a hostile witness. Grace Fryer, to whom the warning had been given, must have had a few choice adjectives of her own flying through her mind. Berry gave her a chance to speak again. She was recalled to the stand immediately after von Sohotsky's testimony. "Not to discredit the doctor," Berry explained, "but to show actually what he did say." But Markley objected to her evidence at once, and the judge was forced to sustain it, seemingly against his will. "Strike out the answer," Backus commented. "These rules of evidence have been invented to prevent people from telling the truth." There were only a handful of other witnesses, including Catherine Wiley and Dr. Flynn, who was there as a paid witness for USRC. And then, at 11:30 a.m. on 27th of April 1928, Berry rested his case. Now, for the rest of the day and in subsequent days to follow, the United States Radium Corporation would have an opportunity to put their side of the story. And then, the girls thought hopefully, wondering how they would feel when the time came. The verdict would be given.